Today on Real Life Radio.
God's wealth toward you to call you, equip you to do whatever is limitless. But it's limited to those who will step up and say, Lord, here I am, send me.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, in our desire to pursue God, we often find ourselves wondering how to do it in this fast-paced world. Well, I think our current featured resource is really going to help. It's called The Pursuit of God, a beloved classic by the late pastor and evangelist A.W. Tozer. The Pursuit of God is the fruit of Tozer's spiritual exploration into the essence of God's nature, and it'll help you on your own journey towards God. With well over 1 million copies sold, recapture the radiant wonder that comes from having faith in Christ and a desire for God above all. The Pursuit of God is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God at the highest possible level of fulfillment.
The Pursuit of God is a book that I have to read at least once, sometimes twice a year. It is so good, and you'll love it.
The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Philippians with a message titled The Power of Giving, Part 2. Here now, as we continue in Chapter 4, we'll consider the practical side of Christianity by putting our money where our faith is. Now, you see, the Apostle Paul is speaking to, a very generous church who shared what they had to help him in his time of distress. Some may find the topic of giving as offensive, but to Paul, giving comes from the heart of God and should be talked about. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack says that the power of giving comes with one rule: to multiply that which we've been given. God promises to supply all of our needs when we give generously towards His church and to others who need our help. Now, with his message called The Power of Giving, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
There's a joke that kind of goes like this. There's the farmer, he's got a cow, she's going to give birth. You may have heard this before. And he tells his wife, you know what, I just love the Lord, He's so fantastic, and I'm gonna give the best calf that's born to the Lord. And so the cow gives birth, and she gives birth to two calves. And so for a week, the farmer's saying, I don't know which one to give to the Lord. I don't know which one to give to the Lord. And he's going out there. And one morning, he goes out there, and he sees that one of the calves died. And he walks into the house, and he says, honey, I'm so sad to tell you, the Lord's calf died. It's kind of like, I mean, that's tragic, but it's like, I gave to the Lord. It's dead, but it's his. It's his, but no, not that way. And it's all based, all of what he's talking about these amazing deposits that we can make. If you look back, look in your Bibles back to verse 15. He says, you know also that from the beginning of the gospel, verse 15, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in giving and receiving. That's what it's based upon. He said, thank you for making these deposits to the kingdom work. And it's well-pleasing. Verse 18, it's an acceptable sacrifice to God. Involvement becomes an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. And then he says it's well-pleasing. Again, all Old Testament pictures, and already in your mind, you're probably thinking about Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present. Listen to the Old Testament imagery that Paul speaks to the Roman church, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, not a dead calf, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, the word is worship, which is your reasonable worship. Isn't that great? And do not be conformed to this world. Why? Because your offering becomes tainted when you're conformed to the image of this world. But rather, look, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wow. This is so beautifully practical. It's so fun. If in one of those Jesus moments, I could have Spielberg take me to in a production, this would be one of those moments. It's so cool. It's John 6, verse 1. You've got to put on the sandals and get into it. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because here's their reason. They saw miracles. They saw signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. Now, I'm not knocking them for that, but it implies they're not following him because he's the Son of God. They're following him because he does really amazing stuff. And Jesus went up on a high mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Look at verse 4. Now, the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, can you imagine? He turns to Philip and he says, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Stop for a second. Are you kidding me? Jesus he's the leader of the band. He is their master. Jesus turns to Philip and he says, where should we get food for these people? Can you imagine, Philip? What are you asking me for? Wouldn't you love to have seen this? This is epic. But this, he said, testing him. How often does this happen in our lives? For he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered. Now Philip's on a freakout trip now. He says, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. What are we going to do? You ever feel like that? Verse 8. One of the disciples, Andrew, now look, the faith lesson gets bigger. At least Andrew, Simon's brother, says to him, there's a lad over here, there's a little kid who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what is that amongst so many? Oh, he's getting closer. Philip's freaking out. Andrew's saying, well, we've got a couple of fish tacos over here. So at least he's moving a little closer to faith, Andrew is. And Jesus says, the remarkable. Verse 10, he says, make the people to sit down. Set the tables, guys. Here we go. How cool is this? Now, there was much grass in that place, and so the men sat down and numbered, this is just the men, by the way, 5,000. 5,000 men. There's probably 15,000 people with kids included. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he, Jesus, distributed them among the disciples. Note the progression. And the disciples to those who sitting down, and likewise the fish as much as they wanted. So when they had been filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. What? Look at his economy. Look at his practical conduct. Hey, he already knew what he was going to do. He was going to feed them if the disciples got it or not. Why do I tell you that? Let's be bold. Jesus is going to do something anyway. Why not use us? He's going to move. Wouldn't it be horrible if Jesus moved without using us? But what am I among so many? Oh, just watch. Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, therefore be imitators of God. Copycats, we would say. Be imitators. We get, by the way, you know to mime? You know what a mime is? To mimic? It actually means to walk in the shadow of the master. In fact, it comes from the journeyman apprentice picture. You have a journeyman and you have the apprentice. You have a mime. A mime shadows someone. Okay? The Bible says, shadow Jesus. How cool is that? And I'm firmly convinced that if we would say, Lord, I got today's message, I'm going to go out there and make spiritual deposits for the kingdom of God. And Lord, I believe, as I heard today, there's power in giving. And so I'm going to take my time, Lord, that you've given me today. I'm not going to watch the Rams play the goats in the Super Bowl. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to go do this. And you know what? If you do that, you got to expect the power of God to show up. Amen. Expect God to show up. He's not going to say, yep, there you go, and you're on your own. He's not going to do that to you. He'll show up. He will show up. In verse 19, we learn this, that the power of giving puts us there before his throne. We each have been given a measure. Please take a deep breath and relax. Stop trying to be Billy Graham. Okay? Stop trying to be somebody, oh boy. No. God made you. to be you. I told you before, Jesus died on the cross for your sins, not your personality. Your personality's fine with him. He wants to grab you and he wants to use you. And you need to trust him with that, because listen, whatever he's given you, he will never expect out of you that which he hasn't given you. Dr. Warren Wiersbe says that God has equipped the called. He has not called the equipped. How encouraging is that? And so he says, and it's so bold, take your highlighter out. In your Bible, see the word, "and my God shall supply all your need." You'll do yourself good if you highlight or circle the word "my." My. In my Bible, I wrote M-Y in capital letters, and then "your need," I capitalized "your." Why? This is what the Greek emphasis is on this verse. "And my personal, tried and true, never failing God." I'm speaking to you, says Paul, from experience, "shall supply all your God, your needs, he will do the same." The Lord is waiting for us to take him at his word. What a tremendous statement. Now look, there's a limitless expanse of God's provision, but it's limited to those who will follow him and do this. Did you hear that? God's wealth toward you, to call you, equip you to do whatever, is limitless. But it's limited to those who will step up and say, "Lord, here I am, send me." And as a church, I want all of you. Look, I'm going to say this at second and third if I remember. I'll say it to you now. I want first service to so follow Jesus, second service and third service gets jealous. Now, at second service, I'm going to say, "I want you to make first and third service jealous." But don't tell them that. But think about that. Well, we heard that first service is like going crazy. They're like, yeah, yeah. Mimic. Follow him.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
I don't know if I've ever quoted Mother Teresa, but this is cool. Mother Teresa said, "If you give away what you do not need, it isn't giving." Ouch. You know, it's like Goodwill's coming next week. Oh, put the junk out at the curb. My calf died. Oh, give it to them. In Luke 6:38, the Bible says, Jesus says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure." Isn't this amazing? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Or running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. That is a challenge. Yikes. Tremendously. Okay, we're almost done. And I love this next verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. By the way, a little bit of background. Paul is commending the church at Philippi, and no church was generous. But if you've studied 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul numerous times rebukes them for their stinginess. He really lets them have it. There were people at the church at Corinth that they were coming to church and the people were hungry. And there were people at church gorging themselves and they wouldn't give food to the hungry. At Corinth, what a church. And Paul rebukes them. And here's one of those responses or his correction. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, he says, "But this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart." Isn't this beautiful? Watch. "Not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver." Okay, great word. Grudgingly, watch this. It's so cool. Grudgingly. Oh, man. Okay. Here comes the offering. And it's like, you go, "Oh, I don't have, I think I have, here's 10 bucks. I have 10 bucks. Grudgingly. That's what the word means. It pains you to give. And then the other word is give cheerfully. The word, we get the English word from this Greek word cheerfully. We get the English word hilariously. Now, look, don't go crazy in this church, but when the offering goes by, you're supposed to be, woohoo, yeah. No, I mean, not out loud. You'd look, that's not right. But it'd be like, God, you're great. Thank you so much. That's what blesses the heart of God in eternity in the moment. It's like, yes. And again, I'm not talking money. I'm talking about you. Oh, I'm here. I've got an hour to give to God. Keep your hour. Get out of here. Right? But it's like, hey, you know what? I only have an hour, but you know what? And hey, here I am. And right? It's the heart of it all. It matters. Final verse, Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 24 says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Think of that. One person gives freely from a happy heart, and he gains. How can you gain by giving? I don't know, but God does that. Another withholds, stingy, right? Ebenezer, unduly, and he goes to poverty. You ever seen that happen? A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Isn't that beautiful? And so my question to you is, what could the Philippian church honestly physically give Paul that could say thank you? Do you remember how he started out this morning? He said, I don't need the gift. So how could they thank him honestly? He brought to them the gospel. They got saved. They're going to heaven. How do you say thank you to that? We already know. Paul says in another place in the book of Ephesians, all I'm asking you to do is pray for me. That's the key. Pray. Pray. Because the Lord doesn't need anything that you and I have. Look, he gave it to us. If he needed it, he wouldn't have given it. He doesn't need it. He's given you and I opportunity to exercise the power of giving to the glory of God. And you should know by now, if you attend this church, again, it's not the money. We don't need the money. God has blessed this church. I'm talking time. I'm talking prayer. I'm talking love. I'm talking find somebody. Target them. Target them, mimicking Jesus. Do to them what Jesus would do if he was literally standing in your shoes. And your Christianity in a dark and weird world will be very fun. Last Wednesday night, when the service was over and I was leaving, this young lady came running up, and maybe you were in this group. I didn't know anything about it. That's fine. I don't need to know anything about it. She comes running up and she says, Pastor, will you pray? Will you pray? I thought something was wrong. She was so animated. And I said, yes. And she said, we're getting a bunch of blankets. What's the thing? There's a bunch of you that do agape stitches. Is that what it's called with the, or love? It's blankets for?
Wrapped in love.
Thank you. Wrapped in love. And we're going to go out and do this with the homeless and wrap them up in the love of God with blankets. And we prayed. And she took off. You know what? She took off. I don't think her feet were touching the parking lot. That's how it is. Well, I'm just bored in my Christianity. I don't see anything happening. It's because you're always sitting around. You got to get up. Watch what he's doing. Jesus is on the move. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. It's very, very amazing. We can, the way the world is right now, the way America is right now, we could point our fingers in 100 different directions with all the stuff that's wrong. And Lord, if you allow us as believers to see what's wrong, no doubt you're showing us that, so we would pray about it. And then we would ask you, Lord, how do I change that problem? How do I get involved? How do I fix that, Lord? How do I mimic you? Jesus, what would you do about that? So, Lord, I just pray that as we look and see and experience the things that we're going through, that we would look. Maybe it's a technician. Maybe it's a contractor. Maybe it is a neighbor. Maybe it's our boss. Maybe it's our employees. Whoever. May we wear the mantle of the power of giving. Giving a blessing with our mouth to someone by just speaking peace to them and joy and truth and love. The power of reaching out a hand and giving somebody comfort. My goodness, the world is so hurting today. If it was ever true that the world needs a hug, it's now. So Lord, here we are, send us. And if there's anything amiss in our lives, we pray that you would remove it from us. Father, we thank you today that all this is possible. All this has been brought to us by Jesus Christ, who came from heaven to earth, died on the cross for our sins because we were condemned. But by his resurrection and life, we have now been justified. That our salvation, our righteousness, our new life, our transformation is in him and him alone. And for that reason and for that cause, we praise you. Friends, today, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, it's time now that you receive him. You say to him now, dear God in heaven, please forgive me of my sins, of my cursing, of my pride, of my arrogance, of my selfishness, of my adultery, of my whatever it is. And remembering the fact that no sin that you've committed is greater than Christ's blood's ability to forgive. You just ask him. And receive him into your life and watch him transform you from the inside out. And Father, while we're at it, we pray right now for our country, for our leaders. We pray for the church in America to arise. And Lord, awaken us to the reality that soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Power of Giving, Part 2. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians. It's a letter written by the Apostle Paul to give light and hope to all who give their lives for the sake of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. So today you heard an altar call at the end of the message, and I'd like to let you know that just because it was on the radio, it doesn't make it any less real. If you felt God move in your life today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we'd love to know about it, and we'd like to help you out with some resources. Visit jackhibbs.com, and there's a tab there that says Know God, and there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com.
Hey everybody, I'm asking you to mark your calendars January 10th, 7 p.m. Pacific time for a very special Happening Now service. This is 90 minutes, fast-paced, where I sit down with Seth Gruber, the leading voice for the pro-life movement. Seth is absolutely the tip of the spear when it comes to understanding the origins and the current issues of the pro-choice movement and where it's going. Friends, listen. Seth is going to be revealing to you some incredible information. For example, just one thing will be the linkage between Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, Adolf Hitler, and his march to destroy the Jews and homosexuals and other of dark skin. Where did that come from? Well, we're even going to go back to the ancient days of pagan gods. It's a remarkable, remarkable time. Mark your calendar, January 10th, 7 p.m. Pacific time, and you can view it live at jackhibbs.com.
You know, we've all felt the pressure, even the guilt of not giving God more of our time. Life in our fast-paced world can be exhausting, trying to navigate through hectic schedules, unexpected challenges, and even a health scare. The irony is that so much of that pressure would go away if we would just slow down and quiet ourselves so we can truly experience God's presence. After all, a life apart from God is really no life at all. So how can we make pursuing God a priority in our lives? Our current featured resource can help. It's called The Pursuit of God, and it's written by a renowned author and evangelist, A.W. Tozer. This Christian classic offers hope and guidance to pursue God in a whole new way. The Pursuit of God is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God by turning your gaze towards Him. The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.